The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings once again, and we rejoin this podcast episode. It's part two of my conversation, my early season conversation with Freddie Winter, because out of all of the pro skiers, I tend to converse with him the most during the course of a tournament season. I don't know why. I don't know that maybe there's that affinity for me talking to English folks, you know, because. I don't know. Anyway, but
well, Tony, just so everyone realizes, I'm not phoning you up and being like, Tony, put me on the podcast, please. You do actually kindly invite me on. I'm not desperately banging on your door, saying, please give me the microphone. I'm so insecure. I need it.
I'm so glad you admitted that in front of all of the good folks that tune into this podcast. Now, one thing that I really wanted to try and do from my personal point of view this season is to try and fill the airwaves every single week for 52 weeks in the course of a season with at least one or two podcast episodes, and I try to do that in the off season as well. So that's why you had all of these alerts coming through from YouTube that says that, hey, there's a podcast episode on your feed there. So that's one of the goals that I'm setting for myself.
It's the golden age of water ski content, Tony. That's what I keep saying. I mean, when I was a kid, like you might be able to get someone to bring back a magazine from the States, a water ski magazine from the States, and then, you know, there was, I mean, I had a video of Marcus Brown on my PSP running 11 at some pro event, and I watched it like 1,000 times, like one pass with a really bad boy one. And now you've got 52 weeks of podcasts. And How do you know how many hours of broadcast you did last year on TWBC?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I wish I could flash up a statistic on there, but I mean, I attended most of the pro tournaments during the course of the season in Europe and the Americas. I don't know. Maybe you had a sly word with Vinny a time ago, but anyway,
he did tell me it was a huge number. And it's just phenomenal. I mean, it's all there. And I mean, like, what I love is, like, I'll go for dinner with people in the water ski community, and they'll just have it on in the background. They'll just, you know, I'll suddenly, I was with Dan from Swiss, and like we were having dinner, and there's like the Swiss pro in 2020 on the TV, and I'm watching. I'm like, oh, that's me. That's, you know, what was my offside doing there? Like, that's, you know, like, oh, yeah, that ski was a bit different. I love it. You know, it's so great to be able to watch all that again.
It'll be nice to see what your offside does in Rabat in Morocco coming up this season. You know, but we kind of alluded to
on the offside.
Yeah, but if you want to find out a little bit about that conversation, you can always rewind back to episode one of this podcast episode. Now, before we go into a smattering of next few tournaments coming up, starting off with the San Gervasio Pro, which always seems to have that traditional, you know, date of like the 4th of July. I don't know whether he intended it to be that way, but I mean, it seems to be the that tournament date. But before we go into that, when I've recorded this podcast episode, it's been a few days since the sad passing of Rob Wing, who was basically the OG in tournament water ski announcing in Australia, and was one of the guides that fronted the commentary not only on site and the Yarra River and the Moomba, but also did a lot of their stuff in post production. You know, that aired on Foxtel. But you know, I mean, it's sad to lose such a great announcer, you know, and someone who did a whole bunch for skiing right there in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, no, very, very sad. And I think, you know, gone before his time in some ways, right? And I think, I've been to, I don't know how many Moomba Masters, and before I was going, I was watching online. And yeah, I mean, he was the voice of it, wasn't he, in a lot of ways? And that's, oh, it's terrible. But, you know, great legacies, two kids, Joel and Amber, right? And
yeah, and Joel, yeah.
And very nice people and big impact on the sport. Those was wing wetsuits. Was he was been a part of that?
Yeah, he had some part in that. I don't know whether he had a full controlling interest or anything like that, along with his relative Brett Wing, who is like legendary in barefooting and in all round skiing. He was just one of the guys there, but yeah. I mean, it was sad to hear of his passing, but we have to kind of push on a little bit, you know, and I hope that the good folks there in Moomba in Melbourne, South Australia, do something that honors his memory going forward. All right, as I mentioned. Let's talk about some of the tournaments coming up in the midsection of the tournament season. Funglis, you're not doing. Probably you're going to be hitting Botas, which will be one of the very first tournaments to be included on the Nautique World Series starting this summer. But always a great tournament for folks to be a part of is the San Gervasio Pro-Am, and that is going to be on the first full weekend in July, you know. And you know, you've had your ups and you've had your downs, and in regarding this tournament, you know, ski equipment and all that kind of stuff arriving late and what have you, you know. But it's always a great time, and especially when it comes down to food and drink and all that good stuff. I love San Gervasio just for that alone.
Yeah, I mean it's a crazy event. It's the origin of the European series. I mean, I always give Matteo credit for that. He had a vision and a successful vision to bring professional skiing back to Europe, and look where it is now. I think you just mentioned that there's tournaments like, you know, every weekend in June and July across Europe, and that really wouldn't happen without Matteo. Maybe someone else could have done something, but it wouldn't. It was, you know, Matteo was the catalyst. And I mean, yeah, I think, you know, you said there's three tournaments in Italy in the same week in sort of 9 days across two weekends this year, which again, you know, it shows the health of Italian, you know, of water skiing there. And that's going to be an exhausting 9 days, but it'll be a good 9 days. We love those midweek tournaments, you know, because firstly, it's less hotel fees for more tournaments in Europe. So, and you know, and the rental car goes a little bit further. So really, really good stuff. I mean, good old Italy stepping up this year, going to keep Coast Place, and I believe Ricchetto as well. So that's really good news.
Yeah, and just to kind of allude a little bit closer to what you just mentioned there, we've got obviously San Gervasio Pro. It's going to be the first full weekend in July. It starts Friday 3rd and ends on Sunday the 5th, and then about a day or so later, there is a tournament over at PKB's place. That's Patricio Kiko Bazzotta's, and that is on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then just a little bit of a gap there. Starting on Friday will be the Ricchetto Pro Am over at the site of the last World Championships. It will be on Friday, and then. Friday the 10th, ending on Sunday the 12th, you know. So a lot of tournaments going forward, and there's just a little bit of space, just enough time just to get the equipment packed up, you know. We have about 23 crates here at TWBC with all kinds of wizardry and all of that, and then we're hopping on off to Portugal for that tournament, which to the best of my understanding I need to get full confirmation on this, is that that they would be introducing the men's slalom event into that one, because last year they had men's tricks and they had women's slalom, but they're going to get, but to the best of my understanding, they are in the process of adding the men's slalom event. So July is going to be packed, I would say.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, it does. Like, I'm sitting here having sort of barely skied in the last month and a bit. And you know, I skied five passes in some horrible wind earlier. And there was a, you know, there's a couple bits of what talk about, skiing in adversity, Tony. Like, and I'm sore as hell. So even the sort of thought of having to put myself through, you know, hopefully, you know, with San Gervasio, if you want to win it, you got to get through five rounds. It's a head-to-head tournament. Then I don't know what Kiko's will be. Maybe two rounds in the finals. That's eight. And then I don't know what Richetto will be. But if that's a two rounds in the final, then that's 11. So 11 rounds in 9 days is tough on the body, because But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That's why we work hard, and that's why we gonna have a. You know, and it's going to be as much the body as the mind, honestly. I mean, that's a lot of you know, keep trying to keep mentally tough and get through all the tournaments and roll with the punches. If you don't do well, keep the head up, and if you do well, then don't let your guard down. So we'll see.
But I mean, it's just trying to stay focused, just trying to stay fit, you know, because I mean, I don't think unless they did this all the way back in the United States Pro Tour in like the late 80s, early part of the 90s, where I believe they had like one or two tournaments in the space of a couple of weekends, you know, one after the other, bang, bang, bang. You know, but it is going to be a real test. I mean, not.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, you go ahead, please.
Well, it's going to be a real test. I mean, you know, of course, the reason this is happening is because Europe is really stepping up in terms of wanting to put on tournaments, and it is, you know, people have realized in Europe that once the pros are over there, they want to do tournaments, and you know, people will turn up. And what's quite interesting is that when I first started competing professionally, you know, seriously, where I was doing it, you know, every tournament, in 2013, 14 and 15, there was only one professional tournament in Europe. And the first one was Matteo's tournament at San Gervasio in 2014. And there was sort of seven or eight other tournaments in the US. And unfortunately, we've lost a couple of those in the US. And actually, it's looking from hearing what you're saying, Tony, it looks like Europe might even have the majority of tournaments this year, which is truly mental considering where we were. But I mean, what I'm hearing about this season, and again, I'd like to call myself professional, but like I say, I've been sort of keeping my mind off it, and I'm gonna now back in America and get my head down and figure out the next plan. But you know, it's going to be exhausting, and then we're going to kind of come back to America kind of end of August, September or whatever, and there'll be like a tournament every few weeks, and that's almost a bit of a shame, isn't it? Like, it'd be good to,
yeah,
you know, if we could spread it out a little bit more, so it's not like bam, 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 and then sort of then the cadence gets lost. That might be more ideal for everyone, really.
You know, I mean,
but we'll see.
I mean, a lot of skiers have been asking for more tournaments during the course of the summer. You know, more opportunities to earn some scratch along the way. And it's, you know, from my point of view, you know, I mean, from someone who just talks about it, you know, be careful what you wish for, you know, because it might just turn up. You know, I mean,
no, look. I don't get me wrong, Tony. Sorry not to cut you off. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. There's no complaint. It's just interesting that, like, I remember last year in 2025, the season was three quarters of the way over on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Right. After that, we had in terms of professional tournaments left. There was California Pro Am, World Championships, Mastercraft Pro, and the Travelers Grand Prix. That's four tournaments, and there'd already been sort of nine or ten. You know, so it's just it sort of does seem that it's sort of getting hammered into that sort of, you know, May, June, July sort of area. And then after that, there's just less and less, which I think we, you know, spreading out a bit more would be good. I know that everyone, you know, people don't want to do two trips to Europe, but it might get to the point that might have to happen.
Yeah.
Where, you know, because we can't be doing, just in terms of our bodies, you know, too many midweek tournaments. I don't know. I'm speaking out loud here. I mean, I'm certainly not trying to complain, but yeah, I mean, you have Formula One runs from, which is, you know, the most successful individual sport in the world right now and growing and growing. It runs from March 10th, pretty much consistently without, you know, with no more than sort of a month's break until December
1st.
December 10th, whatever it is.
Yeah, that month break is just before Spa-Francorchamps in Belgium. You know, they have like about 2 weekend break, you know, and that's pretty much it, you know, for F1, you know. So I mean,
but yeah, they have the summer break, and they don't want to, you know, just so the people that are sort of traveling every week get some time off. But apart from that, they basically have like a maximum of 2 weeks off, and they'll have them, but also consistently on consecutive weekends, you'll only have three. You'll often have, you'll have the odd triple header, you'll have your double header, and then, you know, some single weeks with a gap on either side, but it runs kind of consecutively in that cadence. And that's, I think, you know, you don't want to have too much sort of overexposure as you're trying to build a fan base, because people sort of get, you know, there can be a little bit, you know, it's diluted to certain areas, certain times. We don't want to sort of get people bored of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, from where I'm sitting, it's always good to have tournaments. And I've made a point of doing, I've missed the odd tournament here and there. You know, just where, you know, for example, there was a tournament in Canada a couple of years ago. I really felt sad not doing it, but it just made no financial sense to me to fly there and fly back when I had to come, I think, second to break even.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, you know, sometimes it just doesn't make financial sense. Moomba obviously being an exception, your odds on to lose money at Moomba unless you come in the top two. But that's sort of, it's almost worth it because it's such a title with so much history.
Of course.
Yeah. Kind of, it's got to balance it all out.
All right. Then as we kind of work through the schedule, I mean, this, in my mind, this is the simplest, most sensible way of actually doing it. Now, towards the end of the season, we at TWBC, as I say, you know, had the opportunity to go to Eastern Europe broadcast a tournament, a pro tournament in the Republic of Georgia, and it looks like, according to my provisional list of tournaments, that there is going to be a professional event there this season, right at the end of July, before a couple of titled events, the European U21s, U14, U17s, and then, I mean, that's the only discernible break that you have right after the tournament, which is called the Poti Pro in the Republic of Georgia. And I say the Republic of Georgia, I know for some of you fans out there that put a premium on being correct, and I say it because there is a Georgia which a lot of people identify as a US state, you know, to differentiate that between the country that's in the eastern part of Europe. But
also holds an event.
Keep going.
Well, I'm saying Georgia in the US also holds quite a significant water ski event.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Of course. We don't have to deal with that too much. I mean, only as much to say that you've had some degree of success at that event on the choppy hallowed waters that is the that is Robin Lake, as they like to profess.
As I keep being told every time I go there, it's every skier's dream to ski on Robin Lake.
Okay, let's not get you into too much trouble, shall we? Anyway,
I'm not disagreeing, Tony. I just wanted to repeat what I was told.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right, then. Let's talk about this Eastern European event. I mean, I'm not too sure whether you'd fancy going or anything, but it should be a decent event. I mean, it was hosted, you know, without a whole lot of time to get everything ready, but they managed to pull it off. And, you know, it was actually a good crowd. It was a good crowd of people that came in from Poti, from the city itself, you know. So, I mean, it was under the floodlights. They had a bridge over the slalom course, you know. There were people on that, you know. And I don't know whether you actually saw the webcast of the event itself, but I mean, it looked spectacular. And I think that if you are still able to ski effectively, that this is an event that you should definitely consider going to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I'll say the same thing again, Tony. I haven't got this schedule in front of me, and this is sort of the first I'm hearing a finalized schedule. So, I need to sit down and look at it all. And I think I'd love to do it. I didn't do it last year. I was drowning my sorrows after the World Championships in Greece. And I think that definitely helped me have some success towards the end of the year last year by having some time off. But the thing I said as I left the UK, I said to my parents was, and my friends in and outside of skiing, that this year is going to be a mentally challenging one. I'm not going to say difficult, but challenging, because you've got to find the right headspace to be in, because with how long the season's going to go, going to have to get all the way through to skiing at the absolute best level at the World Championships in February in, you know, basically 13 a bit months time. It's going to be a case of picking and choosing some events, and it's not going to be that some events I do because I think they're the best and some events I don't do because I think they suck. It's going to be the best thing for what I'm going to choose for what I think is going to be best for myself in the longer term with the world in mind. I mean, look, when I won the world in 2017, I was coming back from an ankle injury, and I did an interview with, I don't know, Todd Rustaselli or someone, and said, look, I don't care if I come last in every single event as long as I win the world championships. And I basically wasn't on the podium all year and didn't do very well, but then I won the world championships and I won the three tournaments thereafter. Sometimes there is a need to prioritize later if you're trying to sort of keep a peak. I mean, if I'm to win every event this year, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen, but obviously it's got to be aimed. But if I'm to win all the tournaments this year and then do badly at the Worlds, like I had my worst result in, I think, two or three years was at the World Championships last year. I tied for seventh, and having been on the podium, I'd never came below fourth this year. I've been on the podium a lot, and last year my lowest position was sixth. Not that I did that many tournaments. Actually, not sure I did that at Swiss Pro, but whatever. I'm slightly rambling here, but all of that is to say that I don't know what my schedule is going to be. I'd like to do all of them. I'm going to feel bad if I don't do all of them, because I think every organizer puts on a pro tournament deserves people to turn up and give them the respect of repaying their hard work. But I just know that I'm not going to do all the tournaments this year because it sounds like it's going to be the busiest schedule in a many number of years. And if I'm to commit to do everything, then I'm going to get to the year and I know how hard I take it on myself, how deep I have to go into my commitment level, to where there's a risk of burnout.
Yeah.
Like every sportsman has. And there's no sport where you go 13 months consecutively. So I've got to take some time out. So I don't know if I'm going to do, I imagine I'll do a lot of the European ones, because I like them and they're there. And I think I'll have to take a break after that. And I'm going to feel bad when I have to tell Will Bush, I'm not going to do California Prime. I didn't do it last year, because I prioritized the World Championships. I'm going to feel bad about that. But if that's the case, then we're not robots, we're not machines, and we're so grateful that all tournaments are happening. But this congestion of skiing from May through till October is high, And there's going to be a need to take a bit of a break. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, you mentioned the California Pro-Am, which is part of the Nautique World Series, and that is on the last four weekend, you know, of August, the 28th all the way through to the 30th, you know. And in regards to like endurance and that kind of stuff, you know, you've already experienced, unfortunately, what it feels like to be carted off on a stretcher after a water ski tournament. We don't want to experience that again. Thank you very much from Freddie Winter going forwards, you know. But there we go. Anyway, no comment on that.
On if I'll do the kind of, no, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. And I think, but you know. The California Pro is an amazing tournament. I won it, I think, in 2021, and you know, it's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, it's not necessarily going to be that, you know, a leg's going to snap or someone's going to, you know, have a catastrophic injury. It's just you know, the build up. I'm reminded when I come back to water skiing after having not done it. Like, I took only a month off, really, and it's not even been I took a month off between my last set in Australia in early December and then the start of January. And I did two sets across 2 days, and I couldn't move for 3 days. And I ran, really, like, my back was so sore, my arms were sore, my shoulders, my legs, you know. And you realize the impact that it has on you. I mean, I ran a 10.75 each set, just one, six pass sets, nothing crazy. And this is just the most basic boring level. This would be the easiest ski set when it comes to August, but you realize how much pressure you're putting your body through, and the strain. So, you know, we're actually, you know, not to sound lame, but we are actually sort of extreme sports athletes in that way. I think there's not many sports that give you that much of a sort of impact and beating across your whole body, because it's, you know, it's, water skiing is quite uniquely, you're using core, upper body, and legs all at the same time, in a way that most sports don't do. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one event that we haven't discussed a little bit is Lake 38 Pro, Lake 38 Pro, and normally it would be in May, but this season, to the best of my knowledge, it's actually going to be on Friday the 11th through to Sunday the 13th. Now, that's always a fun one to have, you know, with the likes of Keith Albritton
in May.
No, it's in September.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's what I had sort of heard, actually. Okay.
Okay, so yeah, they're slotting that in for September. Good move on your part.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because I think that's a fantastic move, to be honest with you. Like when you have, I mean, I look at this year. Like last year I did a Masters qualifier 2 days before the Swiss Pro, then the Swiss Pro, then I did the Masters qualifier the following week, and I had a week off, I think, and then, or maybe 2 weeks off. Then it was the Masters, Lake 38, Monaco, Morocco. I didn't go to Funglis. Then there was Botas. Then there was San Gervasio. And some people, you know, and on that week, I didn't go to Funglis, like Ali Nicholson, Ali Garcia, and I think Neely did the Portugal tournament, and so did all those tournaments, like, you know, back to back to back to back. And yeah, I think it's a good move for Lake 38 to have moved out of that sort of that right after Masters slot, because firstly, it does take out some of the scheduling congestion that we've been talking about in that sort of early part of the season, but also it adds at the end of the season where we don't have as many tournaments. You know, since the Malibu Open went away a couple of years ago, I mean, I don't know if they'll put that back on, given that they have the World Championships, and I mean, maybe that's their whole budget gone for water skiing, but whatever. You know, since the Malibu Open went away a couple of years ago, there's just, at the end of the year, there's been Travers Grand Prix, there's been the Mastercraft Pro, and there's been California, which has often been in August. So, you know, Miami has happened, I think, twice so far since, I think, 2011 was the first one, maybe 2021, maybe it's 2022. So there's not that many at the end of the year. And King of Darkness was there for a while. I'm not sure King of Darkness is happening anymore. So yeah, I think it's fantastic. We need to, you know, let's move from the congested middle of the year to the end, to, you know, to more that sort of September time or September time. And that makes more sense to me. Absolutely.
Now, the complication, there was a potential complication with this event because just down the road from the Lake 38 is Tallahassee, which is the home of Florida State football. And their home game is the weekend after. So getting accommodations, Airbnbs, should not be a problem for any of you out there that want to be a part of the Lake 38 Pro, whether you are a pro or an amateur skier. So big shout out there to Keith Albritton for making that happen and for being willing enough to actually move that event from where it was in May to where it provisionally is going to be in September. Now, a couple of weekends after that is going to be the Travis Grand Prix, the weekend of the Friday the 5th all the way to Sunday the 27th, and then the weekend after that is when the season completely winds down with the Miami Pro. So I know it's a long way off. I mean, and we spoke a little bit in the first part of this podcast episode about maybe seeing the need for a number of skiers, you know, whether it be pro or pro slalom, or whether it be those at the high enough level to compete effectively in the World Championships, you know, to shut everything down almost as soon as that tournament in Miami is done, you know. So let's talk a little bit about that, starting with the Travis Grand Prix.
Well, it's a phenomenal. It's a great event. I mean, and one where there's always huge scores. You know, I've won it a number of times, and I've always skied quite well there. Things are set up well, and I think there's been five times where the winning score has been at 9.75, and three of them happened at the Travis Grand Prix, and the first time ever was Will and I in 2022, and he then went and beat me in the runoff, which was very rude of him, but you know, it always skis really well there, and I, you know, I'm a big fan of it, and I love that John does it. I like the whole thing, and it's great. You're not going to hear me say any tournament's not great, Tony, because I think they all are. And I say, you know, I think it's they all have their positives and negatives, and you know, they're positives, distinct positives. You know, some of the negatives, but we don't go into those. That's always a big tournament. I mean, that one I'm going to almost guarantee I'm going to do, because I love it. I always ski well there. Everything's great and set up, and I really enjoy it.
And we get to see Freddie Winter on a go-kart.
Yeah, the slowest man in the West. but again, I mean, like I say, I every year people laugh at me for how slow I am on the go-kart. And every year I go, you know what, mate, it's Saturday night. I'm going to try and win on Sunday. And I think I've won it four times. So, you know, I don't care how bad I am on the go-kart. It's irrelevant to me. I got nine this year, I think. I the first year I shot there, I shoot once a year at the Travis Grand Prix, and I always get 7, 8, or 9, or 10. My friend Joel Poland, the most talented man around, he gets about two, so that always makes me a little bit happy. I noticed that I always get heat for my terrible go-kart driving, but no one's mean about Joel Poland's appallingly embarrassing shotgun shooting. So I'm gonna try and push you towards that, Tony.
He needs to use the other eye. That might help. I mean, because he's used to switching from one foot to the other between tricks and slalom. Maybe he should do the same thing with the shotgun.
I think you have to use your third eye, Tony. You have to really feel it.
Oh, indeed.
It's all in the hips, right?
Oh, don't go all Happy Gilmore on me for crying out loud. Yes, yeah, you heard right. Yes, Freddie Winter is a Adam Sandler fan.
Certainly, I watched him in Jay Kelly the other day. He's phenomenal. The guy should get all the awards for that role.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's continue on. Last tournament of the season. We mentioned this in the previous part, and we'll mention it now. Miami Pro. It's 3rd and 4th of October. and that will be the end of the season, you know, and things wrap up a bit, ramp up again, not in 6 months, but in two, essentially, for the World Championships to come up in what we project to be February of 2027. So
you never know. I mean, the Federation did move the World Championships by a week about 6 months out this year. So you never know where it could end up.
You never. Yeah, absolutely. Are you hoping for that, or are you just floating this?
I'm not hoping for it. I'm just saying that I'm not going to book flights until a bit later on, because the Federation, like I say, they moved it last minute without really telling anyone until it was quite late on. And because of a senior European Championships in Czech Republic, which I thought was quite hilarious.
Indeed. So obviously you haven't done an awful lot of planning yet so far as your tournaments are concerned. I think we pretty much...
Can you tell?
Yeah, I think that's been pretty much established. So obviously asking you to have any goals set for this year is probably a little bit optimistic to ask of you.
I can give you all my goals, Tony. I want to win every tournament. This is the same as every year. I mean, people say, so what do you want to do this year? You're going to try and win the Masters? Yes, I'm going to try and win the Masters. I try and win the Masters every year. You're going to try and win the World? Yeah, I'm going to try and win the World. You know, like, I'm going to try and win all the tournaments. I find it so.
But there has to, be one above everything else. There has to be one or two above that you kind of like, you cross off and you tick on the calendar, which from what I understand right now is pretty empty right now, because you haven't really seen much of the schedule apparently.
No. It's exactly the same every cycle, let's say, not every year, but I mean, to me, the World Championships is by far the biggest. And that, in terms of single tournaments, you know, I have to say winning the World Sea Pro Tour last year was really fun. Like, I liked that I was, you know, the most consistent across the year. And I think that, you know, realistically, if we want the sport to grow, then we need to realize that actually a whole season championship is, you know, and that narrative is what's going to bring us the greatest success in terms of promoting that. Because, you know, when Man United beat Man City the other day, and that's a big day for them, but, you know, one big day doesn't make your whole season. No. So we should really be pushing for you know, if United really want to be a great team, they want to win the Premier League. So anyway,
especially when we're talking Manchester United are concerned. I mean, with the season they've had this year, and
they were top four for a minute there the other day.
They were,
so, you know, and there's still hope. But anyway, I think it's the same every year. I mean, I don't need to look at the schedule. I know what the hierarchy is in my head. I know the World Championships are the biggest individual tournament, and then after that, there's the Masters and Moomba. I'd say that the Masters is a big one because of all the history, and it's got a full field. Moomba hasn't had the full field in the same way that it used to have recently, but it's still massive, and I'm risking to lose a small fortune going down there, and you know, it's very difficult to make money there. So that shows my level of motivation, and then below that there's everything else, and I'm not saying that everything else is sort of an equal value. I think that you've got tournaments. Newer tournaments, because the three I've mentioned are the ones with the greatest history, but the newer tournaments, even you know, I think the tournament's in their third year this year. The Morocco tournament is fantastic. It feels special. You go there, you feel like a superstar. That's huge. And then, you know, what else? You know, San Gervasio is always one that you want to do well at, because it just feels like this kind of almost regal tournament in the middle of the summer. It's the genesis of European pro skiing, and you know, there's all, you know, Swiss Pro is always good because it starts the year off, and everybody's there, and it's got a great webcast or something, you know. But everyone will have their different hierarchy in their head, but that's mine. I think the top of those are pretty much shared by everyone. I think that that's sort of what most people.
And that's what makes it so competitive, because everyone is focusing on everyone else's you know, goals in terms of taking tournament wins, you know. But I mean, the experience of skiing in these tournaments is definitely one to be cherished. And I'm kind of looking forward to maybe looking up in the sky over in Rabat and see a silhouette once again of, well, I don't know whether they had the silhouette of you. It was probably someone else, but it'll be nice to see you floating up in the air in the Moroccan night sky, wouldn't you say?
You are talking about the drone show, not sort of me attached to a balloon or something.
I mean,
we don't know. There was so much money flying around. Honestly, I mean, I could literally see it. Like it was insane. The way we looked after there was just unbelievable. I mean, really, truly unbelievable. The story I laugh about, kind of from that whole weekend, was there was these events every night. There was a lunch, and then there was some activity in the afternoon. This is after skiing, and then we'd have like a party or something, and there was canapes, there was an open bar. Of course, we weren't drinking. And the night before the final, I think it was me, Adam Sadelmeyer, and Corey Vaughan. We sort of buddied up to sneak out of this rooftop party so that we could get an Uber back to the hotel, because the bus wasn't going to leave until, 11:30 or 12. And we just wanted to go to bed because we had to ski the next day. And we're sort of sneaking out the side door, and we're caught by Camille Belmerar, who's the organizer's son. And he's like, come on, guys, come back in, join the party. And we're like, no, mate, we're here to water ski. It made me really realize that, as much as we as skiers, we do feel, not at that tournament, far from it, but, in some tournaments we feel a bit, undervalued, that we turn up, pay a big entry fee, and, don't sort of feel that the organizers that jazz that we're there. I mean, there's a couple of tournaments I'm talking about in particular. But then actually there's a degree of beauty to that you can kind of just really focus on yourself. And it made me realize that in Formula One, poor old Charles Leclerc and Oscar Piastri, I mean, they people are on them and trying to get a hold of their time 100% of the time. They've probably got all sorts of sponsor stuff to do every week, depending on which country they're going to. And they must just be exhausted from the non-driving stuff. Then they've got to go in a car and drive 300 miles an hour.
And then they've got to do the opening ceremonies and stuff like that. And if you don't attend the opening ceremonies, you get banned like $250,000. I think that happened to Carlos Sainz a few years ago, So, I mean, you've got to be wary of that. Chump change for them, but for us, it's pretty big deal, don't you think?
Well, I think no one's going to be able to afford a $250,000 fine, but yeah, I think, it would be difficult. It would be difficult. I mean, and you'd probably get used to it. It was an eye opening experience to sort of feel like, wow, we're such bloody superstars that we're trying to get away from we're moving away from the interest just to try and sort of, get ourselves ready for tomorrow morning's big final, which we're trying to win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, then. So I've taken up probably a little bit way too much of your time. This is the second and final part of a two-part podcast episode with Freddie Winter. Now I give, as I always give everyone that is gracious enough to spend some time with me and talking about tournament water skiing and what have you, I extend to you the same courtesy with an opportunity to acknowledge and thanks, to those nearest and dearest, I would imagine.
Well, I always say the same thing, so I'm going to change it up a bit, right? I'm going to say thank you to all the plentiful and wondrous people that made me enjoy my off season to the level that I did. It was the best off season I've ever had. Couldn't add any more fun. Thank you for sharing beer with me and all of those sorts of things. And it was a blast. So ready for the season, motivated, and just lose a little bit of weight, and I'm going to be hopefully good again. We'll see. Working towards it already.
You're not going to go for any of the stuff like tirzepatide or anything like that, to lose weight, or are you just going to go straight old school?
Well, that sounds very illegal, Tony. I'm under WADA restraint. I'm not allowed to take anything that would accelerate. I mean, I'm going to do the old fashioned, eat very, very cleanly and exercise well and be an athlete again.
Excellent stuff, and we're very, very glad to hear that. And that concludes this second of a two-part episode with Freddie Winter here on the TWBC podcast. And we thank him, and we thank you for your support. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Ciao, Tony.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.